Oma Ganatvananda Sya Ganantana Salakaya Chaksur Ungulikam Hena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mrovishtam Stapitam Hena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Paratamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Sya Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Satam Vitam Sya Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Vinavanda Vigatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Nosite Tapta Kanchen Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Krishna Vanda Siddhi Devi Pranamami Rishwriye Vanchakalpa Trubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pali Yo Vaishnavi Yo Maha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhunanda Shedvaita Gadadhar Harshivasi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Vaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila, Chapter 28, Talks Between the Lord and Ramananda Rai, Text Number 95. This is we have 96 written on the board, but you can see that we haven't done 95 either. I'll just read the English for 95. Although the son of Devaki, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the reservoir of all kinds of beauty, when he is among the gopis, he is nonetheless becomes more beautiful, for he resembles a Marakata jewel surrounded by gold and other jewels. Text 96. Prabhu kahe a.
Prabhu kahe a.
Sadyavadi.
Sadyavadi.
Sanishchaya.
Sanishchaya.
Kripa.
Kripa.
Hari.
Hari.
Taha.
Taha.
Yadi.
Yadi.
Age.
Age.
Tichu.
Tichu.
Vaya.
Vaya.
Prabhu kahe a. Sandhyavadi Sanishchaya
Prabhu Kari Sandhyavadi Sanishchaya
Kripa Kari Kaha Yari Ache Kintu Haya Hoya
Kripa Kari Kaha Yari Ache Kintu
Prabhu Kahe E Sandhyavadi Sanishchaya
Prabhu Kahe E Sandhyavadi Sanishchaya
Vipakari kahayari ache kim shumahaya
Prabhu kahe e sadyavadi sunishchaya
Prabhu kahe e sadyavadi sunishchaya
Kripakari kahayari ache kim shumahaya
Kripakari kahayari ache kim shumahaya
Prabhu kahe e sadyavadi sunishchaya
Prabhu kahe e sadyavadi sunishchaya
Kripa kari kahayari age kintu haya
Kripa kari kahayari age kintu haya
Prabhu kahe e sadyavadi sunishchaya
Prabhu kahe
Ramananda Roy replied, until this day, I did not know anyone within this material world who could acquire beyond this perfectional stage of devotional service. And Ramananda Roy goes on, among the loving affairs of the gopis, Ramananda Roy continued, Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna is topmost. Indeed, the glories of Srimati Radharani are highly esteemed in all revealed scriptures. Just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Sri Krishna, our bathing place, Radhakund, is also dear to him. Among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is supermost and very dear to Lord Krishna. So this is the purport. This is a verse from Padma Purana and is included in the Lalu Bhagavatamrita 2.1.45 by Srila Rupa Goswami. It also appears in the Adi Lila, chapter 4, verse 2.15, and again in the Madhi Lila, chapter 8, verse 8. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Anaradito nuna bhagavan hari ishvaraha yano vihaya govinda pritoya anayadaraha. When the gopis began to talk amongst themselves, they said, dear friends, the gopi who was taken away by Krishna to a secluded place must have worshipped the Lord more than anyone else. Purport. The name Radha is derived from this verse, Bhagavatam 10:30-28. From the words Anaradita, meaning by her the Lord is worshipped, sometimes the critics of Srimad Bhagavatam find it difficult to find Radharani's holy name in that book, but the secret is disclosed here in the words Aratita, from which the name Radha has come. Of course, the name Radharani is directly mentioned in other Puranas. This gopi's worship of Krishna is topmost, and therefore her name is Radha, or the topmost worshipper. So there are different types of gopis. There is the Sakis. Then there's the Priyasakis, Priyanarasakis, Priyanarapraistasakis, and then there's Radharani. This is explained in the Ujjala Nilamani. Then there are the Vamana and the Daksha gopis. There is the soft and mild and heavy gopis. There are many varieties, unlimited varieties of gopis. It is not that there's only one variety. But it's a combination, permutation, so many different varieties. But the topmost of all of them is Srimati Radharani. He has 26 qualities. Someone here must remember all the 26 qualities, right? He must know them. Which is the 26 qualities of Srimati Radharani? You remember some of them? Yes.
She knows languages.
She's mild. She's most expert amongst Krishna's girlfriends. She's submissive to her subordinates. She's respectful to superiors. She's pleasing. She has so many unlimited qualities.
Speaks lines all over her body.
What's that?
Speaks lines all over her body.
Yes.
Precious eyes.
Sweetness personified. What else?
Shy.
Shy.
Respectful to her superiors.
Yeah, it's not bad saying it again.
her pleasure is Krishna's pleasure.
Well, I'm sure that's one of the qualities. You have to add that in the book, though.
Expert cook.
That's also true. So she has so many unlimited qualities. Well, she has unlimited qualities. We can go on talking about Srimati Radharani. She's the source of all the Lakshmis, for instance. That when she expands, when Krishna expands into the different forms, just like he expands as Baladev, so she expands as Revati. But Baladev also expands into the conjugal pastimes. Who's Lord Baladev in the conjugal pastimes? Madhuri Ras?
Ananda Mandyadi.
Yes, Ananta Manjar. Even though Baladev Day wants to participate in Krishna's pastime, my dear, your Leela. And Radhakun, she has a little, in the middle of Radhakun, she has an abode, Ananta Manjar. I mean, we can't see it with our present eyes, but when we get our spiritual eyes, then we'll be able to see it. And she expands as Revati and all the different, then she expands as the queens in Dwarka. All the queens in Dwarka are expansions of Srimati Radharani. Who is Srimati Radharani expanded to in Dwarka? What's that? No?
Satyabhama.
Radharani is Satyabhama. And who is Rukmini?
Chandravala,
yes. And all the other queens, the Parama Prestha Sakis, they expand as the eighth principle, as the other queens, principal queens of Krishna. And the 16,000 princesses that were captured by Bhumasura? They were also the gopis from Vrindavan. When Krishna, when, who is Chandravala? How is she related to Radharani?
Sister.
Yes, they're sisters. So Chandravali and Radharani, they felt so much separation from Krishna. When Krishna left, they entered into the waters of the Jamuna. And instead of drowning, the sun god took them. And who did the sun god give them to? Satyajit. Well, actually, Satyabhama, yeah, she was the daughter of, seemingly the daughter of Satyajit. And where she had a jewel, where did she get the jewel from? Which jewel was that?
Samchak.
Yeah, Simon Kapha jewel. She got from the Sangha. And so, she gave that jewel to her father. The father of the Sangha actually, let's see, how did that work out? There was something about that jewel. That when, let's see, when Krishna had killed the, what was the name of that demon from Kuvera?
Sankashuda.
So he got that jewel from her and he gave it to Radharani. And that jewel was, I think that was the Simon Kapha jewel, if I'm not mistaken. And then when Radharani was given to Satyajit, then that's how he got the Shining Kaka jewel.
Chambapan.
What's that?
Chambapan had it. This
That was Chambapan took his child, gave it to his child, and Krishna came and got it back. And then afterwards, an Akura he gave it to Akura, and Akura he held it for some time, but I think then he gave it to Balaram and gave it to Radharani. And then Radharani, when she was still in separation, she took that jewel. Oh, we're getting to the Samachaka jewel, actually. And then she took, she had that jewel, and then she wound up in, it's in the, it's in the, which one is that? Lili de Madhava. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please speak on. I am very happy to hear from you because a river of unprecedented nectar is flowing from your mouth. During the Rasa Dance, Sri Krishna did not exchange loving affairs with Srimati Radharani due to the presence of the other gopis. Because of the dependence of the others, the intensity of love between Radha and Krishna was not manifested. Therefore, he stole her away. Purport. Out of fear of the other gopis, Lord Sri Krishna took Srimati Radharani to a secluded place. In this regard, the verse Kamsari Api, verse 106 in this chapter, will be quoted from the Govinda, Gita Govinda of Jayadeva Goswami. If Lord Krishna rejects the company of the other gopis to Srimati Radharani, we can understand that Lord Krishna has intense affection for her. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that one of the reasons why Krishna stole away Srimati Radharani is because all the gopis, they were thinking that Radha and Krishna and their pastimes were equal. And it was to show, after he left, after he took Shrimati Radharani away to a secluded place, and all the gopis were searching for Radha and Krishna, finally when Krishna had left Shrimati Radharani, and when the gopis came there, they saw how intensely Shrimati Radharani was feeling separation from Krishna and lamenting. All of them could understand how they were inferior to her in love for Krishna, and therefore their appreciation of Shrimati Radharani increased. So it appears that they became very envious of her, but actually they became very much appreciative of her when they saw how intensely she was feeling separation from Krishna. So Krishna actually took her away in order to increase the other gopis' appreciation for Shrimati Radharani. Finding herself treated equally with the other gopis, Shrimati Radharani displayed her tricky behavior and left the circle of the Rasa dance. Missing Shrimati Radharani's presence, Krishna became very unhappy, began to lament, and wandered throughout the forest to search for her. One time one devotee painted a picture of Krishna lamenting in the forest, feeling separation from Shrimati Radharani, and showed it to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada rejected the picture. He said, Krishna is never unhappy, he never laments. But here it says he was lamenting, but not in the way that we think lamentation is. Krishna's lamentation is ecstatic. The more he laments, the more he's in ecstasy, unlike ourselves. Therefore, to show Krishna is never unhappy, therefore to show him lamenting, Prabhupada didn't appreciate that. Lord Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, took Shrimati Radharani within his heart, for he desired to dance with her. And thus he left the arena of the Rasa dance in the company of all the other beautiful damsels of Braj. Being afflicted by the arrow of Cupid, and unhappily regretting his mistreating Shrimati Radharani, Madhava, Lord Krishna, began to search for her along the bank of the river Yamuna. When he failed to find her, he entered the bushes of Vrindavan and began to lament. These two verses are from the Gita Govinda, written by Jayadeva Goswami. Simply by considering these two verses, one can understand what nectar there is in such feelings. It's exactly like filling a mind with nectar. Although Krishna was in the midst of hundreds of thousands of gopis in the Rasa dance, he still kept himself in one of his transcendental forms by the side of Shrimati Radharani. Lord Krishna is equal to everyone in his general dealings, but due to the conflicting, ecstatic love of Shrimati Radharani, there are opposing elements. The progress of loving affairs between a young boy and a young girl is like the movement of a snake. On account of this, two types of anger arise between a young boy and girl, anger with cause and anger without cause. So the word you hear is called is man. So this is Prabhupada's purport. During the Rasa dance, one form of Krishna was between every two gopis, but by the side of Shrimati Radharani, there was only one Krishna. Although this was the case, Shrimati Radharani still manifested disagreement with Krishna. This verse is from Ujjvala Nilamani, Shringara Veda Kanta, written by Srila Rupa Goswami. When Shrimati Radharani left the Rasa dance out of anger and resentment, Lord Krishna became very anxious because he could not see her. So we should not think that this is the ordinary anger and resentment of the material world. This is, as I mentioned before, when the Ramanuja Sampradaya and other Sampradayas in Jayapur, they went to the king, who was a Vaishnava, and told him that it was improper for Radha and Krishna to be together on the altar, that he had to remove them from the altar. And then he claimed that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they claimed that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas had no, weren't bona fide Sampradaya, because they had no, and then at that time, the king sent a message to Radhakun that the Pandits were claiming that the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya was bona fide, and so he had requested Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur to go to Jayapur and defend to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. But at this time, Śrīla Viṣṇunātha Chakravarti Thakura was too old, so he sent Baladeva. Baladeva went there, and he defeated the Pandavas. But then the Pandavas, they got together, and they huddled, and they said, "That's all right. Whatever you say may be all right. But still, you have no commentary on the Vedanta Sutra." But before, when the king had sent a message, he was told that Radharani had been put into a separate altar apart from Govinda, he laughed and he said, "Oh, this is just Radharani's mom, her anger, that this is her pastime." So for him, it was all transcendental lila, that Radharani was feeling some anger towards Krishna, and therefore he had manifested this lila. But this is not ordinary man. This is transcendental man, or anger, beyond prema, intense love for Krishna. First there's prema, then sneha, then man, then pranaya, then raga, then anuraga, then bhava, then mahabhava, and then there's different stages of mahabhava. So man is a very advanced stage of feeling devotional ecstasy. That prema and prema, even one is never deviated from thinking of Krishna, one's love for Krishna never diminishes. And on the stage of pranaya, even if one is in a very averse position, then one will always not even regard as averse. As a matter of fact, aversion, averse positions will seem positive. And in the stage of mana, man, then one is prepared to sacrifice even one's own existence to please Krishna. So this is a very advanced stage of loving exchanges. You shouldn't think that Radharani was angry as a young boy or young girl. They get become angry with each other. It's simply a different variety of ecstasy, of intense ecstasy. Lord Krishna's desire in the rasa dance is perfectly complete. But Śrīmatī Rādhārāṇī is the blinking link in that desire. Nor should we think that the rasa dance is just an ordinary dance. For instance, in the rasa dance, I think there were 8,400,000 different ragas produced during the rasa dance. Right now, we probably know around 20, 30 ragas. But in the rasa dance, when they were singing, when the gopis and Krishna were singing, there are 8,400,000 ragas being sung. The Vishrāyamet. Imagine. And then the dancing was unbelievable. All the gopis who were showing different types of dancing and artistic movements were incredibly, it can't even be described. Because they weren't dancing in material bodies. Here we have to dance in material bodies, we have certain impediments. But there they were dancing in their spiritual bodies. There was no impediment to their different types of movements. And of course the rasa dance lasts four billion two hundred and thirty-two million years. So it's quite a long dance. Deborah had enough time to display different artistic talents. Everyone will get a chance to lead, I'm sure. So the rasa dance is sunshine in the heart of Krishna without Śrīmatī Rādhārāṇī. Therefore, he also gave up the circle of the rasa dance and went out to search for her. When Krishna went out to search for Śrīmatī Rādhārāṇī, he wandered here and there. Not finding her, he became afflicted by the arrow of Cupid and began to lament. Since Krishna's lusty desires were not satisfied, even in the midst of hundreds of thousands of gopis, and he was thus searching after Śrīmatī Rādhārāṇī, we can easily imagine how transcendently qualified she is. So we shouldn't think, of course, that Krishna's lusty desires or the lusty desires of gopis have anything to do with anything lusty desires in the material world. Krishna's lusty desire is simply to see, or Śrīmatī or the gopis or any of the residents of Vrindavan, to see everyone else happy. the more ecstatic Krishna's desire is simply to see the ecstasy and the that other his devotees are enjoying. That's his desire. And that's called his lusty desire. He has such an intense desire to make others happy, it's called lusty desire. And similarly, the gopis' desire to make Krishna happy is so intense that it's also called lusty desire. But obviously it has nothing to do with material sense gratification. It's simply an intense desire to please the other. After hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Ramananda Roy, "That for which I have come to your residence has now become an object of truth in my knowledge." So we can just imagine when Lord Chaitanya was hearing this, he was realizing, experiencing it. We may hear it, but we may not understand it just by hearing it. But when he was hearing it, he was actually experiencing it directly. Therefore, it became realized in himself. "Now I have come to understand the sublime goal of life and the process of achieving it. Nevertheless, I think that there is something more ahead, and my mind is desiring to have it. Kindly explain the transcendental features of Krishna and Srimati Radharani, also the truth of the transcendental mellows and the transcendental form of love of Godhead. Kindly explain all these truths to me, for you, but for yourself, no one can ascertain them." Sri Ramananda Rao replied, "I do not know anything about this. I simply vibrate the sound you make me speak. I simply repeat like a parrot whatever instructions you have given me. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Who can understand your dramatic performances? You inspire me within the heart and make me speak with the tongue. I do not know whether I am speaking well or badly." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I am a Mayavadi, and the renounced Lord of life. And I do not even know what transcendent loving service the Lord is. I simply float in the ocean of Mayavada philosophy. Due to the association of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, my mind became enlightened. Therefore I asked him about the truth of transcendent loving service to Krishna. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told me, I did not actually know the topics of Lord Krishna. They are known only to Ramananda Roy, but he is not present here." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "After hearing about your glories, I have come to your place. For you are offering me words of praise out of respect for sannyasi, one in the renouncer of life." So we can see in the dealings between the devotees, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they never expect praise for each other. Mani na mani de nena kirtini asidamari. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his praise, he has a way out. You know, it's interesting to see their dialogues. We find in the conversations between Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda that Advaita Acharya is always seemingly criticizing Lord Nityananda and sometimes blaspheming him and yelling at him, speaking harsh words. And all Lord Nityananda's devotees are always laughing because they understand what he's actually saying. He's always praising him. And unfortunately, Advaita Acharya's followers, they didn't understand what he was saying. They thought he was actually criticizing Lord Nityananda. And because of that, those who felt like that fell down from their position. So still in Lord Chaitanya, he's demeaning himself, but we should not become befooled or bewildered by Lord Chaitanya's talk or Ramananda Roy's humble explanation of what he's doing. That they're all on a platform which is so exalted, it's inconceivable. So the Srila Prabhupada's purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that a mundane person, being enriched by mundane opulences, must always know that the transcendental opulences of the advanced devotee are far more important than the materialistic opulences of a person like himself. A materialistic person with material opulences should not be very proud or puffed up before a transcendental devotee. If one approaches a transcendental devotee on the strength of one's material heritage, opulence, education, beauty, and does not offer respect to the advanced devotee of the Lord, the Vaishnava devotee may offer formal respect to such a materially puffed up person, but he may not deliver transcendental knowledge to him. Indeed, the devotee sees him as a non-brahmana or as a shudra. Such a puffed-up person cannot understand the science of Krishna. A proud person is deceived in transcendental life and despite having attained the human form, will again glide into hellish conditions. By his personal example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains how one should be submissive and humble before a Vaishnava, even though one may be situated on a high platform. Such is the teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the authority of the world, the supreme spiritual master and teacher. Janlaishvara Shuddha Shudhir Aidamana Madhapaman Navahai Yavadatanvai Tvama Kinshana Gochara. And anyone who is proud of Janva, high birth or Aishvarya, materially wealth, or Shuddha, great learning, or Shridhir, or personal beauty, they cannot chant the holy names with submission, with humility. Actually, as we learn, that anyone who is proud in the material world is only due to illusion. After all, everyone in the material world, all the jiva souls, are all the same size. 1/10,000 the size of Tibetan hearing size. And we're all covered by different varieties of illusion. In other words, the body that we hold is so valuable, and all our different talents and qualities that we think we possess actually don't belong to us. Nor are they very valuable in the spiritual world where everything is spiritual. Here there's just a combination of earth and water and fire and air and ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego in different combinations. So we may think they're valuable here, but they're not worth anything in the spiritual world. They're valuable. So just like if you have a $1 million note from the Confederate government. In America, there was a war between the Union and the Confederates. Or if you had after the war, when Germany had lost the war, in World War I, and they were supposed to pay some money back to the other countries that defeated them, they didn't have any money. So what they did is they printed up money. So if they owed 100 million Deutschmark, so they printed up 100 million Deutschmark. Of course, that meant that all the other Deutschmarks weren't worth anything anymore. In order to buy a loaf of bread, they used to go to the wheelbarrow of Deutschmark. One loaf of bread which used to cost 10 Deutschmark suddenly costed 3 billion Deutschmark. In other words, it became worthless. So similarly, what we think is very valuable in this material world is not worth anything in the spiritual world. Although people may be proud and puffed up for the material opulence and material position, wealth, or beauty, but they're all worthless from the spiritual point of view. But the only thing that's worthwhile is devotion to Krishna. Therefore, when we're situated on the platform of devotion to Krishna, and is decorated with all the different types of ecstasies, that's what everyone finds in the spiritual world is very valuable. That people can appreciate the devotional qualities that someone has in the spiritual world, or those who are devotees. Otherwise, there's no value. And probably the example is given, just like if you are part of a machine, a big machine, the little part by itself has no value. If you take it out of the machine, it's useless. What will you do with it? But if it's part of the machine, if it's working the machine, then it's valuable. Or the finger, as long as it's part of the body, then it's valuable. As long as it performs its function. But if you cut the finger off, then no one will accept the finger. If something's wrong with the finger, and you'll spend thousands of dollars or euros in order to correct it. But if it's cut off from the hand, who will take it to the doctor? Similarly, when the soul is connected to Krishna, then it has its value, and as soon as it's disconnected from Krishna, it becomes useless. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's the Acharya of the whole world shows how one is only valuable if he's humble and submissive before a Vaishnava, that even he's God himself, then still he doesn't claim that he knows everything. in his incarnation with Krishna. He took a teacher, Sandipani Muni, and learned all the devotional arts from him. Although he's the source of all knowledge, all the Vedas come from his breathing, still he learned the devotional arts from Sandipani Muni. Similarly, here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he knows everything, still he takes instruction from Ramananda Roy about devotional service. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if Lord Krishna can take instruction from a devotee, then what is our position? We think, well, I know everything. What do I need instructions from any devotee from? I know more than Krishna does. So this is not, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us the example as an acharya. Of course, this subject matter is quite intricate, but we can bow our heads towards it and try to respectfully appreciate how exalted these pastimes are and pray that as our hearts become purified, as our feelings and sentiments become refined, then we'll be able to gradually appreciate the sublime pastimes of Radha and Krishna. As it says, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are so enchanting that the six Goswamis in Vrindavan practically they became so enchanted by the pastimes that they were able to give up all eating and sleeping and simply remain enchanted. They were so absorbed in ecstasy they even forgot to sleep most of the time. They didn't know whether it was day or night. They were just so absorbed in remembering these pastimes. Of course, we can hear them. We may not be so ecstatic when we hear them, but by the purification of the heart, then we'll be able to appreciate how sublime these activities actually are, these sentiments, these feelings of loving exchanges. Just the mood, how selflessly and lovingly the whole pastimes of Radha and Krishna take place, which serve as the inspiration for all the other rasas in the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, everything depends upon selfless service, inspired simply by loving feelings, and there is nothing more sublime and selfless as in the exchange of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. The gopis are willing to sacrifice everything, even their own lives, their own existence, their own reputation, everything else, if it pleases Krishna. And they're put into a rasa where apparently this is so. And the other rasas, including the Swakya rasa, there is no such seeming feelings to be invoked. Because in the Swakya rasa, the legally married queens in Dwarka, there can't be such a feeling as in Parakya rasa, where Radha and Krishna and the gopis, they're meeting, seemingly breaking all the religious codes. Meeting secretly in different places and seemingly disobeying the orders of their superiors, leaving their legally married husbands and rushing off to the forest just because they hear Krishna's flute. So that sentiment of abandoning everything and surrendering completely one's heart and soul to Krishna is only possible completely in Parakya Rasa. And of course you see in the pastime, the Brahmin with the Brahmin's wives. When Krishna went to the Brahmins, when he was with his cowherd boys, and the cowherd boys said, we're hungry. Actually, the cowherd boys weren't hungry. The cowherd boys were thinking maybe Krishna Balaram are hungry. Therefore, they came up with this pretense that they were hungry. And so Krishna told them to go and beg some food from Brahmin who were performing sacrifice. So they went to the Brahmins, and the Brahmins wouldn't even answer them. Although they're saying, my dear Brahmins, destined to be twice born, now your sacrifice is going on, Shrodramani Jaga is about to take place, and at this particular junction of your sacrifice, it's allowed that you offer food to guests. You can distribute prasadam during this particular phase of the sacrifice. Although they're a coward boys and they're not expected to understand all the intricacies of the sacrifice, still they understood. Sacrifice is not exactly something that you just read a book on. It is so intricate. All the different details and regulations of going to sacrifice, you have to study like Lord Prabhupada, practically speaking, understand it. But still, somehow or another, even though they were coward boys, they understood all the different intricacies a Brahminical sacrifice. And they went and requested some food at this particular junction, but the Brahmins were so puffed up because they thought, who's this Krishna? Who's this Balaram? Krishna is a Vaishya, and Balaram is a Kshatriya. Why should we even pay any attention to them? So they ignored them. They didn't even answer the cowherd boys. So that's a big insult. If you really want to insult someone, you say something to them, someone says something to you, and you just ignore them as if they didn't even exist. So this is a great insult. So the cowherd boys felt very disappointed, just like sometimes the devotees go on book distribution, and they come back, and their score is not so high, and they feel depressed. So the cowherd boys felt like that. We went out there, and we came back with nothing. We didn't even get a reply. They didn't even bother insulting us. They just ignored us. They didn't even tell us to go get a job. So Krishna told him, he gave him good advice for all Sankirtan devotees. He said, when you go out in bed, don't expect to be successful everywhere. So that was good advice for the Sankirtan team. And then he said, well, all right, you go and tell their wives, because their wives are actually devotees of ours. So as soon as the cowherd boys went and told the wives, immediately the wives packed up the prasadam from the sacrifice, and although the husbands forbade them, they immediately rushed out to see Krishna Balaram in the forest and give them some prasad. And of course they got to the forest, and Krishna Balaram said, thank you very much for the prasadam. You know, now go back to your husbands. And they said, I'm sorry, we can't go back to our husbands because they have rejected us. We've left them. The Vedic culture was so strict that if a woman left her house even for a night, even for a little while, then immediately they would be rejected by anyone else. But Krishna said, I'm sorry, you're Brahmins and I'm a Vaishya. It would be criticized if we had such a relationship. Therefore, it's not possible for you to stay in the forest and meet me. You have to go back and see your husbands. But don't worry, because I'm the super soul in everyone's heart, and because you're Mahabhagavats, that not only your husbands will accept you back, and your husbands and your fathers and your sons, but they'll honor you as great devotees. Because anyone who becomes completely purified, my devotee, he becomes appreciated by all living entities. And indeed, when the wives went back, their husbands honored them. The husbands realized that actually we committed a great offense by not bringing prasadam out to Krishna and Balaram, who are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but our wives are so much more exalted than we are that without any hesitation they went out to please Krishna and Balaram. Therefore they honored them and respected them, and from that time on they always treated them as very exalted, advanced devotees. But at the same time, although they understood that Krishna Balaram was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of fear they wouldn't go out to meet them because they thought Kamsa would be displeased. So they couldn't get off the bodily concept of life. So though we read in the Krishna book that seemingly, big deal, they ran out to the forest to see Krishna Balaram, but actually in the Vedic culture it was quite an accomplishment to do that. Nowadays, of course, if there was some rock star playing in the local theater, and the parents told the young children, you can't go out and see these rock stars, they go out anyhow. Who cares about the father and mother nowadays? They just run out, somehow or another get some tickets and go and see their favorite rock star. But the Vedic culture wasn't like that. There was extreme social pressure. No one would even think about doing such a thing. But without even thinking, just spontaneously, these devotees would leave everything just to Krishna's pleasure, go and do something to serve him. So this is certainly the Brahmins' wives or the gopis show us the limit of surrender and spontaneous love. So I'll stop here. Do you have any comments? Yes.
A question. You read in some of the verses, it is described how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells someone on the road, Emma Mayavadi, and by the mercy of Sarabhama at the time, I have become devotee. And actually, we know it was the other way around. And my question is, if you can comment on what was the meditation for Chaitanya? Sometimes we may say something. We may say something just to, like, we're supposed to be humble, we say, but he must be meditating in something very deep to say that. Like.
Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he, you know, obviously when he's talking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had to explain Mayavada philosophy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat there and listened. And he came out with the Sarvapani Padam Tat Sarvatashishuram Mukam Sarvatashuti Maloke Sarvavritti. Everywhere his hands and legs, his eyes and faces, and he has ears everywhere. And this way the Super Soul exists pervading everything. So he began to quote from the Bhagavad Gita, defeating his Mayavadi philosophy. Then of course Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became despondent, and later on he realized that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he went and surrendered to him. But after surrendering to him, then he became a great Vaishnava. And after becoming a great Vaishnava, of course Lord Chaitanya, he started to treat him like a great Vaishnava, and even take instruction from him, treat him like a spiritual master. So before, of course, he was Mayavadi, but afterwards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just appreciating how he was giving instructions to him as a Vaishnava. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always in that mood that, you know, I'm low in the blade of grass. Therefore, he was just pointing out that somehow or another I'm actually receiving instructions from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and this way I'm becoming more and more of a Vaishnava. So he forgot about the material or the illusory qualification that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had before he became seemingly converted into a Vaishnava. He only remembered his activities as a Vaishnava. So that's the quality of a great devotee. He doesn't see anyone else's faults, he only sees his own faults. And if someone does something, even a little speck of devotional credit, he amplifies and makes it into a very exalted activity. And even if there's a huge amount of fault, he discards it if he can find looking for the good quality. Yes.
I read in Krishna book that actually the Lord is called Radharani, Krishna is Krishna. He left that, so, no? And that is contradictory to that Krishna was there.
Yeah, you know, there's always new things that he added. Krishna book is not, it's, in one moment, as it says in the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, that even one moment, another day with his millions of heads, are still trying to describe even one moment in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, or in Krishna's pastimes. So there's no limit to the understanding. And even here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're just getting a little glimpse. And to understand what Srimati Radharani Mahaprabhu's lamentation when Krishna left her, or Krishna's lamentation when she left. Besides that, there are different rasa dances. We shouldn't think that there was one rasa dance and that was it. There are many, many rasa dances in many, many different parts of Vrindavan. And they have all different varieties of ecstatic moves and feelings. So this, the one that's described in the Krishna book, that particular rasa dance, where Krishna left with Srimati Radharani, whether that's the whole pastime or not, or just an abbreviated form or not. But there are many rasa dances. So in this one, which Mother Radharani leaves, and then Krishna laments, that may be a different rasa dance. Yes?
You mentioned that everyone was in Arias for the same round that the relationship with
I guess it's just an auspicious number. If you're going to sing Radhas, you might as well sing 8,400,000. There's no connection between them. Not that I know of. I mean, I don't know. I can hardly remember 10 Radhas myself. I have no idea what 8,400,000 means of Radhas. Radhas is not such an easy thing either. Raga is a very intricate combination of notes that's precise notes and played in a precise way. So to imagine that there are 8,400,000 of them, even to imagine that there are 4,000 of them, or 8,000, is inconceivable. What is the speed of 8,400,000? But then again, as it says in the Brahma Samhita, that in the spiritual world, that all this, the walking is dancing, and all this, the talking is singing. And as Srila Jiva Goswami points out, that if all the walking is dancing, and all the talking is singing, then try to imagine what the dancing must be like there, what the singing is like must be there. We can't imagine. How can you imagine? It's inconceivable. As soon as we try to imagine, our brains will be bumped up against the material coverings. We'll keep on bumping our heads against the material cover. We can't get beyond that until we actually come to the spiritual platform. Anything else? Yes.
Just a question. Can you explain a little more the relationship between Radharani and Chandrabhaja?
Can I explain it? I can. Right? It's a little bit more? I can explain it a little tiny bit more. It's inconceivable. But I guess you know that Chandrabhaja is, she's a, basically, when we say left and white, right, we mean gopis. This is only, in the Ujjvala and Nilamani, there's much more intricate divisions between gopis than between left and right. It's soft and hard, it's all different combinations. But she's basically right-wing gopi, which means she's always submissive to Krishna. And Srimati Radharani's a Vamana, or left-wing gopi, which means that she's always unsubmissive. Of course, that unsubmissive and submissive, they're all submissive to Krishna. But it's just seeming that Krishna enjoys the defiant attitude that Srimati Radharani sometimes displays. And she does it only to please Krishna. In any case, there seems to be some rivalry between the two different groups in the spiritual world. Chandravali has different gopis who are actually, they're some of the topmost gopis, like Padma. She's a confidant of Chandravali. And they're always trying to arrange with Krishna to meet Chandravali. And the other confidants, like Lalita and Vishaka, and Dinesha and others, are always trying to arrange that Krishna meets with Srimati Radharani. This creates kind of a mood of competition in the spiritual world. That things don't go smoothly. Just like here in the material world, there's always something happening. You know, right? Even in the little temple we're living in, there's always some controversy. You can ask Rita Chaitanya Guru, who keeps all these things confidential. Or the other management. But there's always something exciting going on, something to tax one's mind what to do. So in the spiritual world, everything doesn't go smoothly. It's not you go there and all the birds are chirping every day and everything goes smoothly and prasadam's always on time. Except it probably is on time. But there's always there's all kinds of intrigues and dramas and things, never, you know, cliffhangers going on. This is due to the different relationships that go on. So there's a whole group of gopis competing, seemingly competing against Srimati Radharani's group. They're always trying to decorate themselves nicer and intrigue Krishna and criticize Krishna for being, trying to embarrass him for being with Chandravali, saying that, you know, don't even look at us, Krishna, don't even mention Radharani's name and contaminate the name of Radharani. We know that you love Chandravali more than us. So this way it goes on. And then you have, in Yava, you have personalities like Jatila and Kutila, who are seemingly, they are antagonistic towards Radha, Krishna's being with Radharani, and Abhimanyu, they're always trying to prevent Radharani from going out and meeting Krishna. And it creates all kinds of intrigues and dramas and feelings, emotion, very good. And we're only getting a little small fraction of it. We're being baby spooned. Baby spoon fed, they said. He goes, you know, how much can we understand about the feelings and emotions and the dramas and the situations that go on in the spiritual world? It's unlimited. Here in the material world, it's just a shadow reflection of what's going on in the spiritual world. Here it's just the emotions, the feelings, everything else are just like a shadow compared to the reality, the spiritual emotions and dramas. Here, some movie comes out and everyone rushes to see it. But there, you know, the movie will last for a few, you know, maybe months or something, and then people get bored with it. But there the drama is going on for billions of trillions of, you know, eons. And people are never bored. It becomes even more exciting. You know, the gossip goes on, you know, you hear about Radharani. She's caught with one of, you know, Krishna's necklaces, Tritila caught her red-handed. The gossip goes all around Vrindavan and everyone's in ecstasy. And therefore Radha and Krishna have to make more elaborate plans to meet each other and won't be detected. So many things go on like that. Anything else? Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grandeur, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kijaya, Srila Prabhupada, Kijaya, Purva Nandi.